Hey everyone, welcome back to our next edition here of Pearls and Swine Podcast with Levi, Nate, and myself, Travis. We're coming at you live from the Evangel House at 1114 on College Avenue. And today we're going to be talking about fear. Bible speaks a lot about fear. Fear is something that every single human being experiences at some point in our lives to certain levels and varying degrees. And I think there are healthy fears, and I think there are some unhealthy fears out there. So what's a good, healthy fear for you, Levi?
You know, I really I'm fearful of things that will stop my breathing. And so I like breathing. I like air in my lungs. And so I am a little bit probably less of a risk taker when it comes to mountain biking down, wherever you guys go mountain biking. That's not my thing. I'm a little bit scared and a little bit fearful of breaking something or crashing into a tree. And I call it common sense, but you guys call it something else. So fun.
Those crashes do hurt. There's so much of life that is good and so much of life that maybe we don't really fear, but when those fears come, they can be so overwhelming and really overshadow everything else. Like, I was just thinking, we don't really fear oftentimes whether or not we can gather food, right? Because our ancestors back when they were hunting, that kind of thing, that might have been a legitimate fear. Can they find the next animal to hunt or whatever? And so there's lots of things that we don't necessarily fear. But, when your doctor says you have cancer, that's a huge fear because all of a sudden things are outside of your control. And I think that's oftentimes where our fear lies when we no longer feel like we have any control over things.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, there are some fears where you have control over stuff like the mountain biking thing. Are you going to go off that jump? Are you going to go zipping down there as fast as you can? And you sort of eye those things up. And I think that kind of fear is good because it gives you a healthy sense of self-preservation. I mean, I hope that my kids at some level have a fear of doing certain things. My littlest one, I hope that he has a fear of running out in the road because you could get squashed by a car. But there are other things, like you said, that I think where fear comes in and it's more of a paralyzing factor in your life where, you may have some control over it, you may not. There are some things that you have to overcome that fear and take a risk on once in a while.
Fear also dictates, I think, some of our choices. And I don't think we really realize, obviously there's the good fear that everybody has the emotion of fear. But I think that there's choices that we make or even sides that we take in our current political climate. You have, gun control. Well, whatever side you're on that thing, it's fear driven. Mm-hmm. You're either fear of rights being taken away or fear of, guns in and of themselves. And so a fear dictates a lot of what we do, how we respond, what we look for in things.
Yeah. I think fear of failure is a big one for me personally. Like, there are things that I can look back on my life that I had opportunities to take, and the fear kind of paralyzed me from taking some of those. If you're a parent, obviously there's fear of failure in even just having kids nowadays. I mean, my parents probably would have said the same thing and my grandparents the same thing, but there's always, society can be scary, things at school can be scary. There's all these fears that kids have to face that would make you fearful as a parent from even considering to have kids at some point.
The Bible talks a lot about fear, but, what is regular fear, because it's normal. I think Jesus was afraid when he was going to the cross. There was, you can see it in how the Gospels kind of depict it with, the sweat and the it's so sweaty that there's blood coming out of it. Well, that's fear, and it's the body's emotional connection to self-preservation. And so I'm not sure that we could say that's wrong, but there are fears that are detrimental to us and detrimental to our health. And how do we overcome those? Because the Bible talks a lot about be not afraid, be not fearful, fear not type of language. It's a very common statement within the scriptures.
Yeah, and typically that's associated with the fact that God is with us, right? We don't have to be afraid. God has got our corner, got our back, and that kind of stuff. All power and authority is given to me, Jesus said to his disciples. And so the idea is, you don't need to fear. Go do this thing that I've commanded you to do, and I'll be with you. You don't have to be afraid. Proverbs, it talks about that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. As you're saying, Levi, like, fear can be really good. And just a recognition of who we are in relationship to God. And that God is powerful. God is mighty. God will hold us to account for our decisions. And so we should have this healthy fear. And yet it's his very presence that should allow us to overcome other fears that we shouldn't have. Fear of maybe what people might think if we invite them to church or something to that effect.
Yeah, I think really what you're getting to is the Bible speaks on two types of fears. And you've got the fear of the Lord, which is good. I mean, it acknowledges that we understand kind of our place within that thing. He's our Lord, our Creator. But then there's that other, that spirit of fear that can overtake us and keep us from experiencing all that God has had for us, that he desires for us, stops us from maybe sharing that faith story with our neighbors, inviting them to church and those kind of things. So
I think there's another place where it stops us, and it's in relationships. We all have relationships with people, and people are messy, and people do things that are difficult at times. And there are times where people hurt our feelings. And sometimes we have a fear of confrontation. Mm-hmm. And we're fearful of what that means. But why do we have that fear? Or when someone comes to us, and they should, and says, hey, you really did this. Maybe we feel like it's false accusation, or the reality is we're just really actually fearful of people seeing us for who we are, and or claiming something that maybe it's not really who we are, but we did. And so I think there's a fear factor that plays into both of those things. And yet relationships, there's only two things really the Bible pushes really hard on, and it's relationship with God, relationship with others. And it's always in that fashion that we have those things. And yet our relationship with others often gets broken, and we're scared or fearful to repair that, to go to that person and say, hey, you did this. Or we're scared or fearful when someone comes to us because we defend. Mm-hmm. And I think that's my, like, we become defensive. And so I think our natural reaction toward that fear that's happening.
Yeah, it goes back to like that fight or flight response. You know, if there's something that is scary outside my door, my heart starts pounding and I'm ready to run or fight. I think the same goes with our relationships. It's on a more emotional level, probably. And that really dictates whether or not I want to own up to my stuff or accept that apology or move forward.
I think of times where maybe I have a friend that I have to have a serious conversation with, and how difficult that can be, and how much time I spend just kind of running things through over my mind, because I'm afraid that maybe in talking through that with my friend, they won't understand that I'm truly trying to help them, or I truly want to see what's best for them. And so I think we have that fear in confronting, and as Levi said, fear in being confronted, that we want to be defensive. Yeah, I was just thinking here through and looking at a verse from Hebrews. You know, we were supposed to be delivered from fear when we have faith in Christ, and particularly our fear of death. And in Hebrews, it talks about that we're delivered from this fear of death that basically put us into a lifelong slavery. Because if we're constantly worrying about whether or not we're going to live, we can't live in faith for Jesus in some ways. And so I was thinking about my own fear of death that I think I've shared this with you guys before. That at one point when I was growing up, I came to this realization, I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to die one day. And so I started dwelling on that, thinking through that and that kind of stuff. And if you've ever seen the movie, What About Bob? I saw that movie right about this time where I'm
struggling.
Did
you see yourself as Bob in the movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
As the little kid who had this death phobia thing. But that film was actually filmed near where I grew up in Virginia. But anyway, this kid was like thinking through, I'm going to die. And so he had these fears, and he couldn't like jump into the lake and swim and enjoy some of these things that are just kind of normal things in life, but that are kind of a risk. And so as I started thinking through that and like going to God, I'm afraid of death. And I know that I need to have faith in you. I need to believe that you're going to give me life after death, that you're going to resurrect me and that kind of thing. And just for years would have to pray that prayer, asking God to deliver me from that. And finally he's given me a little more satisfaction over my fear of death and that. And so, you know, whether it's fear of death, whether it's fear of failure, whether it's
not enough.
Yeah.
All of those things, I think, and there's passages in scripture that talk about perfect love drives out fear. It pushes mm-hmm. it away. Mm-hmm. Thinking in those terms about like even like death or even that you're not enough, there's this fear that you're not enough. And, you know, we have this identity in Christ. We have this identity that we're son or daughters that are blood bought of the Most High, and that's our new identity. So we are enough. But it's only through that understanding that God loved us enough to send his son to die on a cross for us that we start to gain perspective on mm-hmm. that. And it really starts to cast that fear, which is really a liar, mm-hmm. Out of our lives.
Yeah, and so we stop looking at ourselves and our inadequacies and that kind of thing and start looking to God and what he says about us. And that's what can give us that confidence. Oh, God loves me. God says I'm good enough. God has shown that he loves me and by dying on the cross for my sin. And I can start to believe that. I can start to embrace that in my life and live that out. And
I think that's why scripture speaks so much on fear, because that is one of the ultimate tools of Satan for mm-hmm. somebody. Once you get that fear instilled in you, you talked about how you have that questioning then. You're questioning everything. Am I good enough? Am I worth enough? Does God even still love me? I think that can all creep in. But like scripture over and over reaffirms that, yes, God loves us. God wants what's best for us. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious or look about you, for I am your God and I will strengthen you. Like, God is there to push out those fears. His perfect love will cast out those fears. But yet, that's still a hard thing for us to overcome.
So, question for you guys. What do y'all do when we have legitimate fears? I mean, we're doing a huge project as a church. And so, there are some fears associated with doing things or maybe fear just in details, everything working out and stuff like that. So what do you do when there is a legitimate fear? You know, things might not go right, right? Things could fall apart, or I could get cancer. What do you do with those actual legitimate fears?
I think for me is going back to the scriptures. And, you know, Jesus says that you'll have trouble in this world. We all have trouble in this world. That's a fact. But he says, you know, you can have peace, or you should be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So in the end, we win. And so for me, I have to go back to those things. Like, you know, this might not work out how I thought, but I have to go back to that. And I have to remind myself that Jesus says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm there with you. And he's walking in that with us, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a job loss, whether it's, you know, whatever that trouble or fear or anxiety, maybe it's a marriage that's exploding in and just the fear of what's after the, you know, it's the marriage is breaking up and you feel like, hey, I'm going to be alone for like, Jesus is still with you. Yes, there's trouble in this world, but be of good cheer because the end is really, there is this reckoning or reconciling of all things back to him.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think another huge avenue to overcome that is prayer. I mean, we've been on a big prayer initiative here at Evangel with everything that's going on. We're having prayer meetings. We're having these special prayer adventures. And those have been really just beneficial to my soul. Just to be in constant communication with God, whether it's a special time set aside or just like the random thing throughout the day where I have a thought like, oh, this, I got to tackle this one and I need God. Just always recognizing that you need God there to lift you up, to support you, it's an encouraging thing. It's a thing that gives you the endurance that you need, the strength to carry on. Not to say that we're not going to face fears, but you know you're not alone.
I was thinking about just like how powerful fear is in relationship to other people. If you think about just like the Holocaust, well, what did it start with? It started with fear. And then it started with becoming prejudiced, and Hitler somehow shot some propaganda out after that. And then they went to genocide. And so fear and hate, when it comes into a relationship, are not that far apart. And they're usually connected. And so maybe that's why Jesus, and all through the scripture, it tells us we need to love one another. We need to see this. And I was thinking about the political realm. Like, you have this, just this brokenness in our society because people are really bifurcated on two sides of things. And really, it's like, you know, I'm joining this group, or I'm joining this party, or I'm joining this collective, and I'm on this side on this issue, and we hate the other people, or we're fearful of the other people. There's this weird connection. But if it wasn't just like, you know, we were starting to think about, like, how do I care about those people? How do I understand where they're coming from? What does it look like for me to understand their position on, you know, whatever issue it is? And why are they making that decision? Because the reality is everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. And for some people, part of their story, maybe there's a trauma that is pushing them in a direction toward a certain political view. We don't know that, though. But we only see the view, and we see, oh, you're on that side of the camp or that side of the thing. And I think that's why the Bible continues to produce and project this idea that we're going to love each other.
Yeah, so that's a great conversation that we had on fear, guys. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any questions or ever have anything that you want to chat with us about, make sure you just get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can always shoot us an email. As we know, my email goes out for that every week, travis@evangelhotan.org. We've got our text number, 906-233-6611. We'd love to hear from you that way, too. And if you've got any ideas for different topics you'd like us to cover on the podcast, definitely let us know. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys, and we'll catch you next time.